Zach, good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. Good to be back, Glad.
Indiana basketball practice kind of snuck up on me. I thought that would get started in October, but then I remembered, hey, we're just 3 weekends away from Hoosier Hysteria. That's going to be on the 22nd. Assembly Hall opens in 2 weeks. So I guess I shouldn't be surprised with basketball being right around the corner. But we're going to get things started with football here, obviously, in September, getting ready to turn into October. The Big Ten Beast, I mean East Division, opens for play tomorrow. The Hoosiers and Michigan State, both 2-1. The first question on everybody's mind is how healthy is that offensive line? And question number two is going to be, can the defense get it and keep it rolling as the big part of the schedule starts to muscle up?
Yeah, I mean, to the first question, it's really a game-time decision, and these are the kinds of injuries I said on a podcast that we put together yesterday in-house that, you know, a concussion is obviously – the more we know about it, it seems like the more we understand that it's just an injury that has to kind of heal on its own. You can do things to promote it. But, you know, Kevin Wilson basically, I think that the term he used was exercise-induced symptoms or something similar to that, basically saying that, you know, Dan Feeney is coming along, but when they push too much, he gets some recurring symptoms. And Dimitri Camille, a back problem. Anybody like me who's ever had a back problem knows that it's not something you can necessarily, it's not like an ankle sprain where you can say by this date, you know, this should have happened if all's gone according to plan, and by this date. It's one of those things that just kind of needs to respond the right way, and it will when it will. You can do things to promote it, but you can't just sort of say that it's a 2-week injury or a 4-week injury or anything like that. So those are both, I would say, kind of day-to-day questionable for the foreseeable future, not to be Bill Belichick about it, but you kind of understand.
It's two injuries. Number one, I don't think people understand, if you haven't had a concussion, how athletic-induced stuff can continue to happen. It does. Your head keeps bobbling around, and you're playing football. You're not playing chess. If you're at practice, you're running into things, and I can see where that makes sense. And back injuries, you're right. If you haven't had one, tying your shoes is a problem. Bending over to do anything is a problem, let alone playing major college football against a ranked opponent.
Yeah, no, I mean, exactly. And you also remember that you talk about Dimitri Camille. I mean, he's always been a kid with a big wide frame. He was obviously about this tall when he was in high school. But, you know, I don't want to say human beings aren't meant to be that big, but you are dealing with a back that's got to support a lot of, and Dimitri Camille is actually really not, if you ever get up close.
He's next, lean.
He's not an overweight guy, but that's still supporting a ton of muscle and a ton of weight. And so it's just one of those things, to your point about tying shoes, there's really nothing you can do without your back. You don't realize your back and your neck. You don't realize just how much both of those, you know, all those sort of groups of muscles all the way up the back and through the back of the neck, how much they support until they get hurt. And walking hurts, turning hurts, bending,
coughing,
hurts.
Eating,
sometimes even laying down hurts.
Exactly, so. Right. Now, the question, though, moving from that but staying on point, is we've heard about the depth of Indiana's offensive line. You have experienced players there. You saw these guys get plenty of game time, obviously, with no Feeney and Camille during Wake Forest. Do we expect Kevin Wilson seemed to be quite happy with the replacements?
Yeah, I mean, he was, and there have been some questions about Indiana's run game, which obviously was a little bit anemic against Wake Forest. I think some of that is Wake Forest. In fact, if you look at it, Indiana ran for, I think, nearly twice as many yards against the Demon Deacons as Wake Forest showed up allowing per game, even though they only ran for something like 120, 130 total yards. I think some of it was, frankly, the offensive line. I mean, look, you lose an All-American in Dan Feeney and a guy that Kevin Wilson has said he thinks has, you know, at least sort of NFL practice squad potential, and Dimitri Camille, even if Brandon Knight and Jacob Bailey are very good, you know, there's a reason that those two guys were at the top of the depth chart. But I also think that the guys behind them are capable. What you really need if you're Indiana is you know, we've heard so much over the last couple of years as guys like Spriggs and Feeney and Camille and Jake Reed, you know, really sort of held down, and even before them, Colin Rarig and Peyton Eckert, really sort of held down the offensive line as veterans. We've heard about Wes Martin. We've heard about Hunter Littlejohn, Brandon Knight, Simon Stepaniak, Coy Cronk, essentially the next generation on that offensive line that has become such a regular strength for Indiana. We're starting to see that generation sort of poke its head through the clouds a little bit. And I think that obviously you would understand why Coy Cronk and Brandon Knight wouldn't be as far along as Dan Feeney and Dimitri Camille. But, you do kind of want to sort of see them starting to learn how to meet that standard. That's what's big for Indiana, I think, in these next few weeks. Because ultimately, you know, regardless of what happens between now and the end of the season, this is almost certainly Dan Feeney and Dimitri Camille's last season in college, unless one of them wants to take a sixth year. And if they did that, they'd have to sit up the entire rest of the season. So, it's about to be these kids' time anyway.
Zach Osterman's our guest this morning. He's the beat writer for Indiana basketball and Indiana football for the Indianapolis Star. You can follow him on Twitter at Zach Osterman, IndyStar.com. Now, as we look back at the Wake Forest game to get some insight moving forward to the Michigan State game, was it a classic case of what was going to go wrong went wrong? Because you could just point to just about every facet of Indiana's game last Saturday that just didn't it's going to be better this week, right? But the opponent gets a little tougher.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can make that case, certainly. The interceptions, obviously. The penalties on both sides of the ball were kind of a continued problem. If you're Indiana, I think there are some things that happened last week that you'd be concerned about. It's the third straight week that you've had a kick blocked on special teams. It is maybe, I don't want to say it's hard to know yet whether it's a blueprint for what to do with this offense, because Wake Forest, somewhat by design and somewhat by game plan against Indiana, loads the box to stop the run and not let a guy like Devine Redding or Mike Majette really get going. And they force Richard Lego to pass. On the one hand, he throws five interceptions, so you say, well, that's how we beat this guy. On the other hand, he throws for 496 and three touchdowns. So you say, basically, if you're Michigan State, for example, I mean, he's obviously there, you know, they spent all week prepping for Indiana. If you're the Spartans, basically, which one do you choose? Do you say that this is a quarterback that can absolutely beat us with his arm, that generally hasn't looked terribly flustered by pressure, and has, you know, he had an awful performance in terms of the interceptions last week, but we can totally see, we can mitigate, as Kevin Wilson did this week, three or four of those right off the bat and just say those aren't necessarily likely to happen again. Those aren't mistakes that we can force him to make again. Or do you look at it and say, this is a guy that we can rattle, that we can really come after? What we need to do is stop the run and again put Richard Lego in a position to have to beat a Big Ten team, a team that maybe is even better than what he saw last weekend. Although Michigan State's obviously got some questions of its own.
They do, and that's what
we can force him to beat us. It's really hard to know, frankly.
The interesting part is Michigan State has some linebacker health issues as well. They gave up 30 points to a Wisconsin offense that is not deemed as West Coast up-tempo or high-scoring. Why am I itching thinking the Hoosiers should be right in the guts of this come about 10:30 Saturday night?
No, I think that's absolutely possible. I mean, you mentioned the linebacker problems. John Reschke is out.
What's Bullock?
He's day-to-day.
Okay.
And it sounded very Dan Feeney-esque whether or not he would be able to play.
Yeah.
He's got an undisclosed injury.
Which is
Reschke's got an ankle problem, but his injury is undisclosed. And at the same time, you've still got a really strong defensive line led by Malik McDowell. I think you are going to see Michigan State try to do some of the same sort of basic concepts. I think that they maybe are a little bit more comfortable sort of going one-on-one on the outside with IU's receivers. That's always that sort of man press coverage has always been a real feature of D'Antonio defenses. And so they might be a little more comfortable loading the box anyway. But I think there's every reason to believe, again, that if you, I mean, you think about at least three of those interceptions. You know, Kevin Wilson took the blame for a fourth, saying that it was, quote-unquote, a greedy play call on his part. But two of those interceptions hit receivers in the hands and bounced up in the air. And then a third happened when basically the protection, there was a miscommunication in the play call. The protection didn't match the play itself, and Lego got hit really hard as he threw the ball. It was underthrown and intercepted. The point I'm trying to make is those are three interceptions that you can sort of, if you're Indiana, immediately make sure don't happen again.
Yeah,
I think there's absolutely a chance this offense can play with Michigan State. The defense is undoubtedly improved. Question is kind of how improved. Michigan State's offense has its own questions after scoring 6 points last weekend against Wisconsin. This is absolutely a game Indiana can win. I'm not saying that it's a game Indiana will win, but I think it is a game where, to your point, Indiana should be competitive and have one hand on the wheel for most or all of this game.
Yeah, and let's be fair. Michigan State struggled with Furman earlier in the year at Michigan State. I know it's early.
I think it was 28-14.
I mean, that's what's happened. So this isn't D'Antonio knows
what
he's doing.
You don't just walk on the paladin, though.
No, D'Antonio knows what he's doing up there. There's no doubt about that. But I think Indiana is in a pretty good spot here. Kind of, again, reset after the – I don't want to say upset Wake Forest, but it was an upset. You schedule Wake Forest, you want to beat Wake Forest on your home ground. So I'd expect, again, a good focused effort tomorrow. I'd be shocked if it was another pile of turnovers. I'd be shocked if Indiana's offense kind of took some time to get revved up. But 8 o'clock tomorrow night, the Big Ten Network will have all of it for you. Michigan State comes in ranked 17th. Zach Osterman's our guest this morning. Before we let him go, he's the beat writer at the Indianapolis Star for the basketball and football program. And basketball practice starts today. Where did that come from?
Yeah. You know what? Part of what it is Indiana is playing on opening day.
Right, November 12th or 13th in Hawaii? Yeah,
November 11th.
Okay.
So
on Veterans Day.
What I guess three or four years ago was that that you could start practice 42 days before your first game, and that's today. So
that sounds like such an NCAA rule. 42 days.
Exactly 6 weeks before your first game, you can start practice. And Indiana is, you would assume that they're going to be in the gym at some point today. You know, I think Allison Hetmer's funeral is today, so
terrible
I'm not
story.
Sure a lot of IU athletics people are going to be attending that. But, it is, for all intents and purposes, basketball season again in Bloomington.
It is, and if practice starts today, well, the roster might not be completely full. We saw conversations with Robert Johnson at one point here a couple weeks ago saying he wasn't fully cleared. We learned this week that Colin Hartman had a severe knee injury as well. They got enough guys to scrimmage?
Well, I think what they've got is about as full of a roster as they're probably going to have. Johnson sounded like he expected to be back full go for practice. And I think that maybe with him and Blackman both, James Blackman both, are they full fitness? You know, there's a difference in my mind between full health and full fitness. And Tom Green even told me that, you know, almost a month ago now, that James Blackman was cleared, but that they were easing him back in and not trying to overexert him physically when he wasn't ready for it.
Yeah, why do that? Exactly.
And at the same time, I think you also, you know, as much as obviously preseason, everybody wants to get going, and these are, you know, incredibly valuable, maybe some of the most valuable weeks of your entire schedule because of all you can accomplish in installation and sort of basic game planning and fundamentals and things like that. You know, I think Tom Crean probably wouldn't be opposed to taking an attitude somewhat similar to a guy like Dan Feeney with Kevin Wilson. Kevin Wilson also often says, you know, we're going to set a high standard for you. We're going to demand a high level of performance. But he also says in the same breath, you know, we can sit you, if you're talking about like Dan Feeney or Dimitri Tramiel, we can sit you down a little bit. You know, you don't necessarily have to work quite as hard, you know, snap to snap in practice, because you're a fifth-year senior, you know what you're doing. And I think that if you're Indiana basketball, you know that guys like Blackman and Johnson have a good command of what's going on.
Yeah, they've played enough minutes.
You don't necessarily need them to be 100%
day
one.
The other,
you can ease them back in and give guys behind them.
There you go.
Josh Newkirk, Curtis Jones, Devontae Green, you know, you're going to need a transfer and some freshmen to really help build depth in that backcourt. Well, let those guys kind of sort of get immersed in it early, and you bring the veteran, the junior guards who've, when healthy, basically both been regular starters their entire careers, bring them along at whatever pace the training staff deems necessary.
It's interesting you bring that up because we had a couple players arrive late. This is kind of a blessing in disguise that Indiana has to play that early game because it gets them organized even quicker. The two, Deron Davis, is that, am I getting his name right there?
Deron Davis.
Yep, he was not late in the sense that he was late, but he was right on time. And then Freddie McSwain, the junior college transfer. So a couple guys that didn't get that full summer workout or the beginning of summer workout, whatever it was. How much does this help them getting that extra start before Hawaii?
No, I mean, I think you know, the thing is they'd always get 42 days. I mean, that, you know, they'd always have the same amount of time to practice.
Oh, it's just at a different time. Okay.
Yeah, the day you can start practice is prompted by your first game. So it's 42 days before your first game. If Indiana opened on November 14th, they would be able to open practice on Monday. If they opened on November 12th, they'd be able to open practice tomorrow. Because they open on the official first day of the calendar, Veterans Day, Friday, November 11th, that's Veterans Day, I believe, then they can start practice on Friday, September 30th. But to your point, I think those guys really need, as much as, you know, I think sometimes we kind of forget in all sports about the importance of preseason. I think we just kind of think it's for conditioning and, you know, figuring out in the pros which players you're going to cut and which players you're going to send to the minors and whatever else. But the preseason is the one time of year where you've got nothing to worry about except spending hands-on time working on development and system installation.
And don't you get more hours, too? I know that there's some limited hours before these.
Well, because you don't have to divide it up with games. I mean,
right.
And they've got practices or they've got classes and things, but it's a lot easier to schedule around those when you're not worried, because a lot of times, you know, when you've got games, you're scheduling practices off both a player, you know, your players' class schedules and also off of the game, because you don't want to, you know, practice really late at night if you've got a game the next morning or a game the next afternoon, that kind of thing. So it's also that time of year where you are not beholden to competition, and you can worry almost exclusively about, yes, yourself and your work. And I think that for those two guys specifically, but really, frankly, a lot of those freshmen and maybe even those sophomores in the front court now without a senior leader in Colin Hartman, these next few weeks are incredibly vital. Not getting ready for Kansas, because that's not – your preseason is never spent getting ready for one game.
Can't be.
But getting ready to try and, I mean, frankly, realize the potential of a team that I think could be as good as any Indiana's had since 2013, and I mean that.
Zach Osterman's our guest this morning. Wrapping it up quick, we talk about front court leadership. That'll need to develop as well. Anybody stepping up, taking the reins in the back court yet, or is it kind of leadership by committee till we figure out things a little bit closer to tipping it off game-wise?
Well, I think you've obviously got those two veteran voices in Johnson and Blackman. Blackman's maybe a little bit quieter, but a guy that I think, you know, if he's healthy, then he's going to be scoring at the rate he has. That's a guy who's, I think, production kind of sets a tone in itself. I think Rob Johnson is certainly, you know, I can remember Rob Johnson speaking at the groundbreaking of the new Assembly Hall in whatever that would have been, 2015. And part of the reason that I have him speak is he's young enough that he'll, you know, that it's not Yogi, because Yogi will never actually play in the Assembly Hall. You know, they know that it won't be completed until after his career is finished. But it also suggests to me, when you're willing to put an athlete up at a big event like that, a level of maturity, a level of poise, I think you've seen Johnson maybe develop into that. There's always one or two guys that always seem, you know, Jordan Hulls and Victor Oladipo or Yogi Ferrell and you know, Troy Williams and Max Bielefeld, and probably Nick Zeisloff too. I think Robert Johnson is the next one of those guys that people kind of talk about. You know, he's always in the gym. He's teaching me how to do this. You know, he just said something quick to me in the huddle that really really changed my outlook, whatever it may be. I think that's a guy who's going to be big. And then if you can get Josh Newkirk in there too, he's actually the oldest player on the team. So
interesting.
He may be a new face, but he's not new to college basketball. I think his role probably grows as the season develops as well.
Great job as always, my friend. We will see you this weekend, and we'll get caught up as October rolls on and get you a more regular spot here on the rotation. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me, Glass. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it, my friend. Zach Osterman from the Indy Star. He is the beat writer for football and basketball. Get a double dip. You got your tailgate ammo ready for tomorrow. You got the inside scoop. Find all his work at Zach Osterman on Twitter, IndyStar.com.